Let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, today that your word does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent forth to accomplish in our lives. I pray that our hearts would be soft and pliable, that you'd be able to do a work in our hearts this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God is good. wanted to this morning, the last 3 weeks we were talking, or last 2 weeks, we were talking about well, I started a series, and it was called What's Wrong With Me? And it had to do with how Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, the things I try to do, I don't do, and the things I'm not supposed to do, I do. How many remember the message? And we talked about how to walk in victory over sin, all right? And last week, Pastor Jacques spoke on being slaves to God versus slaves to sin, right? And we had our group on Wednesday night. Michelle was leading off with the teaching, and she mentioned that. It was really good because I didn't think about it. Many times we have, at a subconscious level, we hear a word and we automatically think of something. And when we hear the word slavery, we think negatively because we think of the South and everything that happened. And even with the natives in Canada, we think slavery is a bad thing. But in biblical times, it was actually a positive thing because the government didn't take care of you. So if you didn't have money, it was an honorable thing to become a slave because you were taken care of. Does that make sense? And so when we become slaves of God, it's not necessarily negative. It's actually a positive thing because he has control over our lives. Amen? So I wanted to start this morning in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to bring it up on the screen. It says here, but the scripture declares, okay, or that's the wrong verse, for sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay? It's Romans 6, 14. Go to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Okay? So God has released his grace upon us. We're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Okay? So that's where we're going this morning. What does this mean? It means if you're focusing on becoming perfect, okay, sin will have control over you. Whatever you focus on has your attention, and you begin to crave it. You know, I saw this, and some of you might have saw this before, this experiment they do with children where they put them in a room and they put a marshmallow on the plate. Then anyone seen this and say, okay, I want you to look at the marshmallow, all right, and I'm going to leave for a few minutes. You can eat the marshmallow, okay? But if you want two marshmallows, don't eat it, and when I come back, I'll give you another one. And it's amazing because the kids are like, okay, yeah, no problem. So they're sitting there staring at the marshmallow thinking, I really want two, so I'm just gonna wait. And so they'd sit there, and some of the kids would stare at the marshmallow. They poke the marshmallow, they look at it from all different angles, they start to play with it. The next thing you know, they're eating the marshmallow. But what's really neat is the kids that don't eat the marshmallow, they literally turn their chair sideways and they look this way. And they start playing with their fingers, and they start focusing on something else. And as they focus on something else and they distract themselves, they forget about the marshmallow. And then the parent comes back in and says, oh, you did well. And the kid looks back at the marshmallow, and then he gets two marshmallows. Okay? You can look it up on YouTube. It's quite cute. But what we focus on has power over us. Amen? And so if we're focusing on sin, if you're focusing, I got to get my life better, I got to act, I got to work on this area of my life, I got to work on this area of my life, and you're always focusing on becoming better, it'll actually have dominion over you, it'll control you. Does that make sense to anyone this morning? Right? And so you know, it's not good. So let's look at the purpose of the law. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 to 25, it says this, but the scripture declares that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ, okay? Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law, okay? And I want you to see the beginning of this, okay? Before the way of faith was revealed. We're no longer under the law, guys. We are under faith. Isn't that good? What's the difference between being under the law and being under faith? There's a big difference. We're going to get to that. Okay? So before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. All right? So our relationship with God is through faith, not through our works. Okay? And so, and then verse 24, Paul says it another way. He says, let me put it another way. This is verse 24. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through what? Through faith. Okay? And now that the way of faith has come, say the way of faith, we no longer need the law as our guardian. Okay? So we were like children. No, you know what? When I was a child, I remember my parents would say, you can't watch that. It's bad. And I didn't understand. Everything in me wanted to do it because I was told I couldn't do it. My parents would say, you can't hang out with these friends. And I'd be like, well, then I want to hang out with those friends. And see, I didn't understand because I was still a child. But when I was a child, my parents would say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And I didn't understand. And because I was a child, I wanted to go in the opposite direction and do it anyway because I didn't understand. But now that I'm an adult, I understand why they said, don't do this, don't do that. Why? Because I'm an adult and I understand now that there's consequences to my actions. When the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in your heart, you became a full-grown adult. The nature of Jesus came inside of you. So now you understand why I don't do this, because if I do this, there's going to be negative consequences. But before you're saved, you can't understand that. You're under the law. You're captive to the law. Does that make sense to anyone this morning? All right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, we'll read that together here. It says this. We might not have that one in the system, so don't worry about it. I'll just sum it up. It says that we have the mind of Christ. Amen? So we know the heart of God. We know the direction God wants to take us. Why? Because we have his mind. Because we've been born of his spirit, right? And it's important to note this because we're no longer under the law. We're under grace. Say, I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. Now, last week, I talked a little bit about faith, and I want to summarize a few things because faith is very, very important. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And if we're supposed to go by the way of what? The way of faith, we need to understand what faith is, right? Faith is adhering to, faith is trusting and relying on God. And that only comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. You don't have to look up these scriptures, but we're going to run them through them. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, do you guys remember me talking about this? Number one, you need to hear. Hearing equals understanding, which equals faith, or which equals confession. Right? So, we hear the gospel, we believe it in our hearts, and then we confess it with our mouth, and guess what happens? We are saved. So faith has to do with our confession, okay? Now, do you guys remember how I said Michelle talked about how we have a negative thought about slavery? Some of you just tuned out because you said he's talking about confession and he's talking about faith, so we're becoming a Word of Faith church. So I want to say that, first of all, we're talking about faith and confession, but confession doesn't mean we name it and claim it. That's not what I'm not talking about that, okay? So we hear, when understanding comes, faith comes, and then we confess it, okay? And so this is always how God works. God walks through the door of understanding, okay? So I want to look at a couple scriptures here that are really important. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith. Say, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So I want to say this. I want you to see a doorway here. This is the door of faith, okay? The scripture says we have access through faith, so you open the door, into a higher plane dimension, which is grace. You cannot get to grace unless you go through faith. So when you're down here, in order to get to the supernatural realm of God's provision, you have to go to the nether dimension, which is the dimension of God's grace, his unmerited favor, and you have to go through the doorway of faith. So you have to open the door and you have to come up to this place in order to operate in the dimension of God's supernatural power. Does that make sense? All right? Now, faith is you hear, you believe, and you confess. Now, this is important because you always know what people believe by what comes out of their mouth, right? So we need to meditate on the Word of God, get the Word of God inside of us so we believe it. Then when we confess it, it has power to move us into the supernatural. Okay? So God is trying to build something here in us. We hear it, we believe it, we confess it. Okay? So we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Now, I want you to see this. Because, why? The love of God, okay, has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All right? So the Holy Spirit has come and brought the love of God into our hearts. Now, some people say, you know, we need to have a love revival. No, we need to get saved, because when you get saved, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All right? So I'm bringing you somewhere here. It's going to wrap up here in a second here. Okay? If I don't get lost myself, we'll get there. But the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, okay? Grace is the supernatural power of God to live in victory. That's what grace is. Grace is God's supernatural power to walk in victory. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord says to Joshua, "Do not let the law of the Lord depart from your mouth, for by it you will have great success." Amen? It didn't say, "Don't let the law of the Lord depart from your eyes." It says your mouth. Speak forth the word of the Lord from your mouth, from your mouth, from your mouth, because it has power to move you into the dimension of God's grace. When you're sitting in a place and you feel down and out, you say, "No, God's word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And the Bible says that the Spirit and the Word agree. And the Holy Spirit who's living in your heart wakes up and goes, "Hope! The word of the Lord has spoken," and you move from the natural into the supernatural because you're declaring the word of God out of your mouth. Amen? Instead of getting up and saying, "I feel sick and tired." "I can't get anything, you know, like this is just, life sucks and I got a bad job and I don't think there's any hope for my husband." What are you doing, man? You're speaking death. Do you know what? I'm going to give you a challenge. If you wake up one morning this week and you're depressed, say you just wake up, you just don't feel like God's with you, just begin to declare the promises of God. Just go, "God, I thank you that that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you that you died and you love me so much that you would freely give me all things because you've already given me your son. You're an awesome God. You're the Lord of my life. Just begin to declare the word. And within a few minutes, you're going to go from being here to being here because something happens. The Holy Ghost wakes up and goes, oh, the word of the Lord is speaking, and I'm going to move into action. The Bible says that God spoke and said, let there be light. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering on the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit went boom. And he went into action when the Word of God was spoken. And so when we speak the Word of God out of our mouths, the power of God is released. And the Holy Spirit throws us into the dimension of the supernatural. And change happens. Amen. And so God wants us to begin to speak the Word of the Lord. Do not let it depart from your mouth, for by it you will have great success. And so the problem is, as Christians, is we're always moved by how we feel. We let our five physical senses move us to believe that our situation is real, when God says, no, I've raised you to a higher dimension. Amen? Paul said to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? What's wrong with you guys? You started by the hearing of faith. And the Holy Spirit started moving and doing miracles, and now you're trying to go back under the law, behavior modification, to try to please him who already lives in you. What you need to do is begin to declare what God's word says about you. When you feel like sinning, say, no, sin, you no longer have power over me. And all of a sudden, you'll find that you'll, after a period of time, you'll lose interest in that sin because you're declaring the word of God, which releases the power of the Spirit, which brings you to a higher dimension. Amen? I'm preaching. I'm off my notes. That's good. So what is grace? Grace is, by definition, charis is the word from the Greek. It's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including acceptance, benefits, favor, gifts, liberal joy, pleasure, and thanksgiving. That's what grace is. It's the divine work of God in your heart. Say that with me. Say, grace is the divine work of God in my heart. If grace is the divine influence upon our hearts, could we not say that grace is the unconditional love of God? Could you not say that? See, we have a lot of Christians that are trying to, I believe they're going to heaven. You got two types of Christians. You got people that live under the law, and you got those that live under grace. All right? And I want you to see here what this next verse is. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Thank you, Susie. What does it say? Love one another. And it says, for he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandments, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All right, in the next verse here. So love is the fulfillment of the law. See up at the top there? So those who live by the law of love are doing something. What are they actually doing? They're guarding their roots. All right? Now, Jesus gives the analogy that we're a plant. How many know that? He gives that analogy. He says, well, we're the branches, and then there's a plant, right? And those who live by the law of love are guarding their roots. Those living under the law are inspecting their fruits but ignoring the roots. See, when I see people that once loved the Lord and now are off in doing or sinning, I want to find out what happened in your heart that would cause you to begin to live in a way that is contrary to Jesus. And you know, sometimes some Christians are like that. They take a mirror and The Bible says, by the law, we're conscious of sin. And so we run up here and we say, hey, look, look, look at that. Pretend this is a mirror. Look, you got issues, man. Look at that. You didn't pull that eyebrow out. Look at that. Look at you. You got issues. Did you see the issues she had? I was looking in the mirror. Look at her. And there's issues in your life. God's going to judge you. You got to get right with God. Sorry, I'm just using, maybe I should use a guy. But law Christians do that, right? They're always pointing out sin in people's life. You got to get right. You got to deal with this in your life. You have to, you know, you got issues. And then what they do is they begin to look, they turn the mirror and they begin to look at themselves and say, I have issues too. I got to change. God's going to get me. How many know what I'm talking about? And law Christians sometimes are very jealous because they want to sin and they feel they can't because they're going to be condemned for sinning. So they want to sin, but they don't. So they're jealous of you because you're sinning. Isn't that awful? Just call it what it is. Because the heart hasn't changed yet. The love of God isn't pouring through your heart. And so, does this mean, and this is where the balance is. Say balance. Okay, this is where the balance is. Does this mean that we shouldn't correct people when they're in sin? What does the Bible say? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Okay? Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What Paul is saying is that when you restore someone, you have to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Not harsh, but come in gentleness. Considering yourself that you're a bozo and can do the same thing. See, this is what I'm talking about. Anybody can fall. Anybody can sin. So if you have a genuine, the law of love, the Holy Spirit's love in your heart, you come and you're gentle. Don't tell me, well, I'm a strong personality and I can never be gentle. Listen, I know men who were aggressively strong and intimidating have become gentle like doves and they're able to minister the love of God to people and they're doing great things for God today. Amen? And so restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And then the next verse says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is, he said, I'll give you another law. It's the law of love. Amen? So we got to confront people with a spirit of gentleness, considering ourselves, because we could fall as well. Bear one another's burdens. Say, I'm going to get under you. I'm going to help you. And I got to be careful because I could fall myself. I'm no better than you. And that's why Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, because he had an ability to say, listen, if it wasn't for Christ, if it wasn't for this new life inside of me, if it wasn't for my relationship with the Holy Spirit, I could fall just like you. Isn't that awesome? And so when we're dealing with people, we don't ignore sin. Grace isn't ignoring sin in our lives or ignoring things that aren't right. Grace is confronting it, dealing with it, but dealing it with the spirit of love, dealing with the spirit of gentleness, getting it out of our lives, getting it out of people's lives because God wants us to go into the Holy of Holies, not because we're trying to attain something. So there's two types of Christians, those who are under the law and those who are under grace. Has anyone worked under someone who is like this? I mean, I had a boss once. He was so, I mean, everything I did, he would criticize. He would come in, and he would say, you know, and it wasn't my dad. It was somebody else, just so you know, because you're probably thinking, is it Pastor Jacques? No. It was somebody else, and it was like they would criticize my work. They would give me a hard time, and they would, you know, give me extra chores, and you can never do anything right. And it was just the attitude of this guy that I worked for. And I walked around. I was nervous all the time. I was like, oh, he's going to come in and praise God he's leaving early today, you know, that kind of stuff. But I felt fear all the time. What if I don't measure up? What if I don't measure up? What if I don't do the job right? I could lose my job. He'll replace me. And these thoughts are constantly, and I'm living in torment. And people live that way with God. Because they see God as a taskmaster. They see him as one who's going to, you know, he's after every little thing. Right? And then you can have a boss who's like really good, who encourages you all the time and says, hey, you're doing a great job. And, you know, you stayed actually. They're always encouraging and motivating you. How many had a boss like that? And it makes you perform with excellence. And that's the difference between being under law and being under grace. It's not that we become sluggish or slack off in our lifestyle, but it's that we understand that we've been adopted, that we're loved by God, and that the love of God is what empowers us to walk in victory over sin, not fear of God. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? All right? So, can I give you a couple more scriptures before we close? I heard one person say yes, so we'll shut her down quick. Luke chapter 6, we're going to read what Jesus says, 43 to 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bushes, whatever they are. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what? Good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. And look what it says here, very, very interesting. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Do you know how you know what's in someone's heart? When they're under pressure. And you see what's really in their heart. All right? Because it just bubbles out. All right? So God is calling us, right? To be fruit, to not be fruit inspectors, but to check the root, to make sure the soil of our heart, that the love of God is pouring in our hearts. And how do we activate the love of God? By confessing the truth of God's word, that God loves me. Amen? And begin to declare what God's word says, that I've been adopted into the beloved. Begin to declare the word of God concerning how he sees you. If he gave his son, how much more will he freely give you all things? He says, God, you love me so much. I thank you that as you begin to declare it, the Spirit of God rises up within you and you move into and up to the level of grace. So God's power is able to flow in your life. Don't wait for a feeling. Create the feeling by your confession. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? I'm going to finish by reading one last passage of Scripture, and then we're going to have communion together. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26, and I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to preach it because I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because it gives it to you line upon line here. So I say, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I'll just wait for the computer. There we go. Okay. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. See, I want to say, when we had worship this morning, We're spending time in God's presence, but what we don't realize what's happening is our hearts are being rekindled with the love and the presence of God, so that the struggle that you might have had tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, you won't have because you've been filled with the love of God. That's why it's important to be in church, because you need to be under the covering, the presence of the Lord, so that it can carry you through. I remember going to Sweden not too long, a few years ago, and we were busy visiting people, and for 3 weeks, I didn't go to church. And by the third week, I said, honey, I got to get saved. Like, I mean, I just like, I'm mad at people. I'm cutting people off, you know, and I'm just like, I want to give them the bird, you know, but I'm a Christian, so I won't do that, you know. My old man's starting to come. What's happened? I've been out of church, man. I've been out of the presence of God. If you don't spend time with the Holy Spirit and the love of God begin to stir in you, all of a sudden, the old person starts to rise up. And so the worst thing you can do as a Christian when you're struggling and say, I'm going to stay away from Christians. I'm going to stay away from our group. I'm going to stay away from church because I'm not worthy. Well, you're under the law. God doesn't want you there. He wants you under grace. So, where were we in this verse? We have verse 18 yet? Okay. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation to the laws of Moses, right? And so, verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, okay? Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of angers, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, evil, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties. Some of you are thinking, oh, wild parties, really? We'll talk after. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that those who live this sort of way will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. When that's being produced in us, next verse, what happens? Gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. So when you have cravings to sin or do things that you know aren't right, the issue lies in getting back into the presence of the Lord. Let God touch your heart again. And how do we do it? We do it by faith. We enter into grace through faith, so you begin to declare, sin, you have no power over me. I'm a child of God. I've been set free. And you begin, and it moves you into a supernatural realm. And you're like, I don't know what happened, but something changed. And you can be a law Christian who goes, oh, I just got to change. And you have like this book and you're writing, okay, I got to stop, you know, thinking these thoughts. I got to stop, you know, lying. I got to, you know, watch what comes out of my mouth. I get angry too much. And you start praying, God, you know, help me not to do these things. And you're praying, and then you fall again. You say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? And you're like all freaking out, and you're upset because you can't change. But you just get in the presence of the Lord. You begin to declare the word of God over yours. I say, I am no longer a slave of sin. I am a joint heir with Christ. I have an inheritance in the saints. God's got a destiny for my life. And what happens is 2 months go by, and people start coming up and saying, you're different. Like, you never get mad anymore. What happened? I used to hear a word slip out here or there, and I was kind of not sanctified, man. Your language has changed. What happened? When you're around your wife, you used to be irritated. You seemed to be really patient. What happened? I don't know. You look back, and there's a trail of fruit. And people are just like, they're eating the fruit. They're saying, what? And you're like, I don't know. I didn't try anything. All I did was, you know, I just love God, man. I just love Jesus. I just love spending time in his presence. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And when you see someone sin, you get there and say, listen, man, you've messed up, and I really care about you. I used to struggle in this area. Let me help you. I want to help you shoulder this burden. I want to pray with you that God will touch your heart again and give you a fresh infilling of his love. And please, and by the way, if I ever fall, would you be there for me? Did you hear what I'm saying? It flows out of love. It doesn't flow out of corrective discipline.